Good morning. Welcome to The Forgotten Word. I'm Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries. I want to welcome you this morning. For any first-time listeners, we sure are glad to have you. Hope that and pray that you get some good information from what we have to say that will help you in your walk with the Lord, and also in your walk in recognizing, being able to discern between good and bad, true and false doctrine and teachings that's going on in the churches today. Talk a little bit today about this new bit of news that popped out, people wanting to know, did Jesus have a wife? As we all know, back in Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code, this kind of got this thing started a little bit more, and you know, the Mormon religion, you know, promotes that type of scenario. Now, also, Harvard, I believe it is Harvard Divinity School has delivered another scrap to the hardened skeptics to, you know, to chew on. Harvard professor Karen King released Gospel of Jesus's Wife. It's a papyrus fragment, and it's gained some international attention. This is actually a fragmented text smaller than a business card. The torn papyrus, it has 8 incomplete lines of Coptic script on one side of the fragment with 30 words. The black ink's legible under magnifying glass, and the convincing factor of the papyrus being genuine is also, you know, the fading of the ink on the fibers, and the traces of ink adhere to the bent fibers on the torn edges. So it's probably a real, and sounds like it's a real actual, you know, document from back in the early days. The backside's so faint that only 5 words are visible. One only partly, and that is my mother, M-O-T-H, and everyone assumes that was mother. And then there's 3 and forthwith. So we have my moth or mother, 3, forthwith. The lines are all fragmentary, with the third line reading, deny. Mary is worthy of it. And Jesus said to them, my wife. And then the fifth states, she will be able to be my disciple. So one has to assume what is being said, depending upon what premise they come from. They read into it what they want to, naturally, because there's just not enough there to really know what it's saying. But what they're trying to say is that this is proof that Jesus had a wife. So as a good friend of mine mentioned in an article of his, Don Koenig, also mentioned that there's what type of Jesus would he have been if he left his wife, you know, here on earth? So that's what they're saying. And Mike Oppenheimer says, so Jesus apparently left his wife. He ascended to heaven and abandoned her on earth. You know, does that sound like the morals Jesus taught? Well, absolutely not. And there's no evidence anywhere in the Bible about Jesus having a wife. I'm sure. I just know in my heart of hearts that if Jesus would have had a wife, we'd have known about it. He would have, I'm sure, mentioned it somewhere along the line, or one of the disciples would have, one of the writers, Paul, somebody. But there's no writings of it anywhere. Karen King reports first learning about it from an email back in 2010 from a private collector asking for it to be translated. The individual does not want his name released, which, you know, always, you know, does dampen the pursuit of his discovery, naturally. King, an expert in the history of Christianity, says the text contains a dialogue in which Jesus refers to my wife, whom he identified as Mary. King says a fragment of Coptic script is a copy of a gospel, probably written in Greek in the 2nd century. Of course, that is also theory. There's no proof of that. So we just don't know. King herself says it tells us nothing about the factual, about the actual facts as to whether Jesus had a wife. Yet headlines across the country and also some foreign countries, the headlines continue to state that a historical document says Jesus had a wife. Now, one of those is on ChristianPost.com. So, you know, you can read the article there. Dr., and I'm going to really butcher this name, but it looks like Luigenik, something of that nature, who contributed to Dr. King's paper, says it would be impossible to forge. Carbon dating would certainly be the next prudent step to further the validation or non-validation. But, you know, not all is well with this supposition, naturally. A New Testament writer over in London, a New Testament scholar, claims to have found evidence suggesting that the Gospel of Jesus' wife is a modern forgery. Excuse me. Professor Francis Watson of Durham University says the papyrus fragment, which caused a worldwide sensation when it appeared earlier this week, because it appeared to refer to Jesus' wife, is it? Well, it's actually a patchwork of text from the genuine Coptic language Gospel of Thomas, which have been copied and reassembled out of order to make a suggestive new, you know, whole. And that's there. We can certainly email you links to any of those articles you'd like to reach from the Guardian, .co.uk, and also GulfNews.com. So there's a, excuse me, a lot of information out there on that, and it's been, it was a big talk for a, you know, for a while, and still they're looking into it naturally to see what can be found, you know, yay or nay, as far as, you know, being able to testify for its originality. Now, whether or not the document is authentic really has no bearing on the text that they found, because the text doesn't say anything about Jesus having a wife. We don't know without the rest of the writings from them, from that section, whether or not Jesus was talking about, you know, my wife, which I don't for one minute adhere to that, or was he talking, you know, in a different sense, meaning, you know, when you say something about your wife, say my wife, blah, blah, blah. We just don't know what was going on. But if there was any hint whatsoever in the Bible that maybe, you know, Jesus had a wife, then I would certainly look upon this with a little bit, a whole lot different perspective. Just nothing there for me. But, you know, but it is news. It's something that's come out. It's something that it seems like no matter what, everybody's got to come up with something new to add to the gospel. It just amazes me. It's crazy. But they do it, and they do it all the time. So, you know, we have to just be really careful what we want to fall for. And, you know, this little piece of a gospel does not bring any proof that Jesus was married, but it has people question his singleness on a whim, which is sad. This piecemeal of postulation, as Mike Oppenheimer called it, may be solved by what has already been written, as Christ calls himself a bridegroom throughout the whole New Testament. You know, the church being his body, as Eve was to Adam, in a spiritual sense, naturally not a literal manner. And Christ, I just do not believe he would call himself the bridegroom if he was a married man. I think he would have a different way of bringing that to us. You know, this new discovery can be added to all the other non-biblical Gnostic texts that were counterfeit Christian writings that, you know, they were made long after the church began, and they were forged to bring confusion to what was already delivered and known within the first two centuries that were contrary to the eyewitnesses. Now, keep in mind, we're experiencing that same thing going on today. You have Oprah, who is such a well-known and followed and respected woman by millions of people. She adds her own little, two cents worth to add to doctrine of the Bible about being many ways to God. You know, she just does not believe, and it was, you know, she did it on television in front of everybody. She made it very plain that Jesus just can't be the only way to heaven, the only way to God. You know, that's what's happening. We're seeing the same thing today we saw back then. There are people who will do anything to try to get their way put into the scriptures so that it will meet their fantasy or their feelings on what things ought to be. And that's really sad, because we know, all of us know, the Bible is the inerrant word of God. The Lord told us to take what was there, We didn't need to add to it or take away from it. Take the whole Bible, use it. It covers everything, folks. We don't need to add to it. Number one, I can't imagine who thinks they're smarter than God. That's what amazes me about this. The Bible is the inspired word of God. That's what it is. And there's nothing that needs to be added to it. It's all there for us already. Why do we think we're so much smarter than God? Well, I can tell you, because number one, we're egotistical, we're self-centered, and we're very selfish people. It's all about me. And if you think it's not all about me, you look around the world. When's the last time you saw a man rush to a car door to open for somebody, or rush to a business door to grab the door for somebody, or anything? I mean, just anything. It's amazing. Nobody wants to do nothing for anybody anymore. Everybody's too busy with their own little circle, their own little bubble, their own little life. They have no time for anybody else. You see it in the church. You see it in everyday society, in the pagan life, too. It's sad. It's becoming a very humanistic society, the United States especially. It's amazing. You look at the last election here in the United States, 2012. People voted for who would give them the most. It's very simple. It's the numbers don't lie, folks. It's a very, very selfish society, and it's sad. And that's what we had in the past. That's what we're having now. People want to make come up with any way they can to make the Bible fit their needs, their self needs, their wants, and their wishes. We're a very selfish people, and it breaks my heart to know some of the people that I know personally who their whole life centers around money. Their whole life centers around it. They're very selfish people. And they have no qualms about doing things the way they want to do them, irregardless of what the Lord says. Irregardless. And that's very scary. Once you know the Lord and know the Lord well and know His Word well, it's scary to go against His word. And that's what this lady has done. She's taken fragments of a document, little bitty pieces, no bigger than a business card, and trying to say a whole story out of that little fragmented piece of paper that doesn't even have everything on it. So we don't know what it was talking about. But to her, if it would have said airplane, she'd have come up with something about an airplane or something, I guess. I don't know. Or flying, I guess it wouldn't have said airplane, but what if it said, you know, you will fly? Well, she, I guess, would come up with, well, this is what it's all about. You know, we have to know everything in its context, just like we need to know the Bible verses in their context. We can't just take one verse out of the Bible and say, this is what it is. You have to look at the context and everything behind it to see what it is, where it come from, and where it's going. So then it's in its right context and it makes sense. But these people will do anything and everything. So don't believe this Jesus is married nonsense that's going on out there, people. It's a lie. It's just another little perpetrated thing brought about by Satan and his wily little demons. His demons that roam the earth like wolves trying to devour you and your soul. And they do a good job of it. And I think maybe that's the biggest problem these people got, is most people don't realize just how wily, how sly, how foxy, how smart Satan is. They think they've got everything over on him. Christians get the big head because, you know, they take a scripture of the Bible and say, you know, you can, you know, stomp Satan under your heel. Well, you just can't jump up and just go do it. You got to know what you're doing. You better know your Bible, and you better be steadfast in the faith with the Lord if you're going to try taking on the old evil one. So listen, don't believe the Jesus wife story. We got to go. Love you so much. See you tomorrow. We pray these programs have been a blessing to you, and they've taught you something. We feel that, you know, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do, and we pray that, and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to, you know, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, C-A-M-P, P-O-I-N-T, two different words, Illinois 62320. God bless you.